And my scripture reading is in Psalms and chapter 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries, to make the enemy and the vengeful cease. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heaven, and the fish of the seas, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Wonderful words. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for being our loving and wonderful and forgiving God. And Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on these words that we speak and the thoughts that we express, and we ask them to help each one to hear those things, Lord, that you would like them to hear and understand. And in the name of your Son, Yeshua, we ask, and amen. The title of my message today is Man Is. And I'd like to go to my text, and then let's look at Psalms 8 and 4. What is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? God cares about you. God is love. He has love and blessings for each one of us. And he wants us to respond to him in a loving, respectful way. He truly does care for us. Continually, people ask and think, what am I? Where did I come from? What am I doing? Why am I here? And there are many conflicting answers to those kind of questions. What is man? Some say that he's just an animal. Nothing more than a natural result of evolutionary process. A fortuitous concurrence of atoms. A hunk of protoplasm. Politically, he's looked upon as a servant of the state. And economically, some look upon him as a customer and others as a potential sucker. The Christian concept is that humans are ultimately very different, very special from all the rest of God's creations. And God has created some of the most beautiful, wonderful things that are not human, but yet are part of his creative works. The nation is elevated that believes the biblical record of creation. That nation is looked upon with favor by Almighty God. And as a whole, if that nation is recognizing Yahweh to the extent that he should be, as a whole and as a majority, that nation is going to stand out above all the others. That nation is going to be blessed. And you won't have to go to some great degree of inquisition to find out that that is true. It'll be obvious, and it is obvious with the United States of America, isn't it? So obvious, looking at the whole world. Three questions can be answered about man. What was man like when he first came from the hand of God? What is man like today? Is it different or is it not? What can man become that he's not now? The man that God originally made, is it the man today? Is it like you and I, the man and woman that God originally made in the Garden of Eden? Well, yes and no. Man was the crown and the climax of God's creative activity. Let's look at Genesis 1, 27 and 28. Genesis 1, 27 and 28. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Do you see that God gave man dominion over everything? To rule over them. And these words is a reference to man's spiritual nature and perhaps physical likeness. Have you ever thought about that? Man was made possessing an intellect, emotions, and a will. He was given by God, his creator, the power to decide, the unique capacity for worship and for fellowship with God, communion, communication with his creator. It's very obvious when you think of yourself and others and the creative works of God and who God is and what he's about, it's very obvious. God created man a spiritual being. He was commissioned to have dominion over all of God's creation. In a sense, when I read part of my scripture reading, it sort of made me think when it referred to God making man, and then it talked about the Son of Man right in those, it almost made me think of Yeshua. how Yeshua is the only begotten Son of Yahweh the Father, and that all power and all authority in heaven and in earth is given to Him. But I think that's those scriptures that we were reading in those, my scripture reading was referring in those particular verses, obviously, to man. That God, of all His creation, that He set man to rule over all the other creatures. Man was made for God. Only man has the capacity for worship of all the creatures, of all the creatures. Man is the only one who offers prayers and bows down to worship the Father. He alone can give himself freely in service to God. Man was made innocent and free. And I would add, man was made perfect. And I really believe man was made to live forever. He was given a job. The Father was the first master gardener. And no doubt that garden that He designed and put on this earth as the Garden of Eden was the garden of all gardens. It was beautiful. It was perfect. And man had a job. Man had a purpose. It was given by his Creator to take care of that garden. And anybody that's ever did gardening work, I think you would appreciate that beauty, that honor that God placed in Adam's hand and Eve's of taking care of that garden. He was made innocent and free. He was not a robot. God didn't make him to just dictate to, and he do exactly, perfectly what the Creator said. He wasn't a robot. He was given freedom of choice, freedom of decision. And that in that regard, he was like the angels of heaven, because they were given freedom of choice. And as such, it was very obvious that just as man, the spiritual beings that God created as angels, had the freedom of choice, and they obviously were made such that some chose evil, some chose disobedience, rebellion, just like man. Have you ever thought about that? God didn't want a robot. He wanted someone to respond to Him in love and affection, in obedience, in trust. He wanted a family. How could it be more obvious? God wants His family. But He has requirements, just like what you would for your son or daughter. Requirements for the family. And they're in His Word. A lot of mainstream Christianity is not teaching the family way that God teaches in His Word. They're leaving out certain things, important things. It's obvious. How has God looked at that? How does he look at that? What does the Bible say about anyone who adds to or takes from his word and his instructions, his laws? What does the Bible say? What words comes out of God's mouth in that regard? I don't think they're going to be judged worthy. Willful sin is what that is. He was made unstained by sin, man was, and was given freedom to decide and obey in loving service or reject and rebel in disobedience. And we know what happened. What is man today? Man is a being limited by time and space. We don't get to live forever. We've only got a certain amount of time that God allows us, some more, some less, depending probably on how obedient you are to Him, how you take care of that temple that He gives you His Holy Spirit to dwell in. How respectful are you to Him? How responsive? How obedient? To do what He tells you, to take care of yourself, your family, your loved ones, the brothers and sisters in the church. Man is limited by time and space. Let's look at Romans 3:23. Find out something else about man. Title of my message today is Man Is. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It all started shortly after creation with Adam and Eve, and it continues today and will until we're beyond this flesh and blood, and until the things that are prophesied in God's Word comes about, and as Revelation would end up saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Yeshua of Nazareth. Man has missed the mark of God's calling. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Man's pride finds expression in rebellion and unbelief. Man has become self-centered and self-destructive. So obvious. The way men behave, the relationships in the family, the relationships between husband and wife, the relationships between a church and its people. Between the church people and God's blessed house of worship and God's people and God Himself. Man has become self-interested, self-focused, self-centered, and self-destructive. Man is a moral fool. He's not sensitive to spiritual values. He has distorted the vision of spiritual realities. He can be fooled, duped by the devil. His intellect has been corrupted. His emotions have been warped, and his will has been twisted. Man is in a horrible shape. This world is in a horrible shape. The United States of America is in a horrible shape. The only answer is the most obvious answer and has always been and always will be God. No one else but God. He is the answer. He's the way out. He is the better life. Anyone and everyone would be so much better. The world as a whole would be so much better if they'd done it God's way and had His Word as their guiding law and their guiding focus. Man is in a hopeless condition. Let's look at Ephesians 2 and 12. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. A hopeless condition. If you don't have God in your heart and in your life, in your family, in your marriage, it will never seem right. It will never be right. There will always be a missing link, something that you know is just not complete. It takes God in your heart, in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your relationships. It takes that for everything to be right. And I'm not saying that there won't even at that time be problems in life. But things go better with God. Things go much worse without God. Let's look at Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin, what you're going to get for, when you do this, what you can expect. The wages of sin is death. If you sin, you're going to get the worst of death. And there are different degrees of death that some could be considered worse than others. And I guarantee you, if you die holding on to the hand of the Lord and being obedient to God and accepting all His promises and all His gifts that are made so obvious in His Word, if you die in that condition, that's the best of death. Because it will be for you as a blink of the eye, and the next blink, Yeshua will be accepting you up in the air as He comes down to this earth. You will be caught up to meet Him in the air. Isn't that wonderful? That's what's the death for us. If we do die, we may be alive. That's fine too. Because we've already discussed this morning in our Torah study, there's nothing to fear in death. There's nothing to fear in the beyond as we hold on to the hand of Yahweh. He is our protection. He is our strength. Did you know the Bible says He is your shield? What does a shield do? Protect. Now listen to this rabbi on the TV. I think he's based up in Illinois. And he was, I forget exactly what the title of his message was, but that's part of what he was emphasizing. how after Moses, Joshua came along, and Joshua was to be God's man, the leader. And he was encouraging Joshua, and he was telling Joshua, do not fear. Know that I am with you. I am your shield. And God was saying to Joshua, just as he would say to you and me, I'm going to be with you every step you take. No matter what you face in life, it's going to be as if I'm between you and whatever comes your way that's negative or that's bad. I'm going to shield you. I'm going to be between you and the issue. I'm going to be your helper. I'm going to be your protector. And I'm saying to you today, take it exactly like that. Know that God is your shield. And speak to Him like that. Remind Him. It doesn't hurt. Remind Him that He's to be your protector. He's to be your shield. Let's look at John 3 and 36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. What does eternal mean to you? It should mean you won't ever die. Not the death that normally people think of. Yeshua Himself says, if you believe in me, you won't die. Do you believe it? I believe it. Sounds weird, don't sound natural. Because we know that flesh and blood is naturally leading to death. But it's a matter of words. Jesus is saying, if you believe in me, you won't die. Like someone else that don't have me. And like I said before, it'll be as if a blink of an eye. When you take your last breath, it'll be like your eyes blink and the next thing you see will be yourself going up to meet Yeshua coming down and uniting with Him. And I would add forevermore to not be separated from Him. Forevermore your existence would be the most beautiful existence that you could ever possibly imagine. That is something that all of us should look forward to. Man is the primary object of God's redemptive purpose. He has a plan of redeeming us, gathering us from this natural state and from the natural world into His spiritual world, a much greater existence. In every regard, God loves us. John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that who believes in Him should have eternal life. And I believe it. And I look forward to it. I trust in Him. I believe His promises. I believe when He says that if you walk with me and you be obedient to me, you put your trust in me, I will bring all blessings to you. And they won't just be a blessing here and there. They will be blessings to the overflowing. Man in God's sight was worth dying for. Thus, Yeshua was in God's plan and the gift of salvation and the leading of your life and the dwelling within you of God's gift of His Holy Spirit. That's the very Spirit of Yahweh and of Yeshua. Their Spirit comes to us as God's Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit abides and works through individual believers to invite unsaved people to receive Yeshua. What can man become? Let's look at John 1 and 12. We've spoke of what man was like when he was originally created by Yahweh. We spoke of what man is now. And now we're looking at what can man and woman become. John 1 and 12. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. What? A literal children of Almighty God? Yahweh of old? The one who had a special city that He claimed and was Jerusalem. And the one who had a special nation, which was Israel. And had very special people, chosen people of Israel. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, which you are, even to those who believe in His name, which we do. Let's look at Galatians 3 and 26. And I'm closing quickly. Galatians 3, 26. For you are all sons of God, daughters of God. How? Through faith in Yeshua. Do you believe it? You are all children of God. Just as you would, that we would look at as being born, a natural father. We are sons and daughters, children of the Almighty Creator of the universe. That should just blow you away. But that's God's Word. And I trust it, and I believe it. Man can become and is a son or daughter of God through faith in His only begotten Son, Yeshua. Man can become a servant of God. Let's look at Ephesians 2 and 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. What? There's something I've got to do? I thought works was something not required. I thought He did all the work. All we do is just go along. I don't think His Word says that. And if you know very deeply God's Word, you know that there is much to do and much expected from Yahweh. For we are all His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. He's got something for you to do. He's got a way that He expects you to walk, to talk, to behave, to respond. And you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to know it and you're supposed to do it. That's part of his plan. That's part of his requirements. That's part of the law for his sons and daughters, for the children of God. He expects obedience, and we need to give him obedience and love. Man can become a steward of God. What's a steward? One who he gives certain things for you to do, and you as a steward are expected to do it. You're to be a steward of God. Remember my message a few Sabbaths back about another word for steward would be ambassador. I don't know if, David, can you pull up 2 Corinthians 5 and 20 in the King James Version? I think it's the King James Version. 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. Therefore, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. What does reconcile mean to you? If you were once a child of God and you drifted away and you were then not a child of God, it's saying come back. Come to your senses. Be reconciled. Come back in good standing, in right standing to the Father that loves you. Life in its riches. Life in its richest fulfillment and life on its higher level can be found only in the right relationship to God, to your Creator. Man has a unique significance only in relationship to God. Man is unique and is very special from everything else because of the Creator and because of why He made you and made you the way that He made you. For you to go out and recognize the gifts that He has placed in your heart and in your mind and try to reach others for Him that only you can do. I can't do it like you can. I can't say the words like you can, that someone else, it would tug at their heart and tug at their mind and they would respond. God's given each one of us that special thing, and you should know it. You're not giftless. You have gifts. And these gifts, some of them no one else has. And some things God has for you to do and say, no one else can do and say. You need to accept it. Man finds meaning and purpose in life only as he lives it by faith and obedience and service to Almighty Yahweh, the great I Am. If you would, stand with me. And let's read our blessing of God to us and our blessing of us to each other. Let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. Wonderful, comforting words.